of uniforms sourced only from a particular store. I'm talking about any school now, not just Cross and Passion. Why, for example, do you have to pay €80 for a tracksuit when we all know that you could go into many multiples and buy tracksuits for a lot less than that? Now, I know what the school will say is there's an issue of quality here, there's an issue of students. If they're all wearing the same thing, well, then there can be no discrimination and whatever else. And you understand that point too.
I do understand that point, but one size does not fit all. You've got children who might have sensory issues. You have children who are not in children's sizes. Like, I can only speak from my own experience, where my child, when he was 8 years old making his clearing, was wearing age 12. He's now 15 years of age. He's 6'3", and he's in a boy in man's clothing. And I can't actually buy it off the shelf for him. I have to go to big and tall stores for him. And that's just me personally. There's other people out there, and as you say, it's for them to look the same, and that's perfect. But, you know, my kids have never worn Nike or Adidas tracksuits. You know, they are your bog standard, because they grew out of them so quickly. And all of this added expense is not good for the mental health of anybody out there who is struggling financially, and they have bills to pay, mortgages to pay, rent to pay, food to put on the table, and then to be lumbered with huge book lists and huge uniform costs and the school fee on top of that.
Right.
Like, you know, you're looking at a grand. You're looking at €1,000 to put a child into school.
All right, you're articulating the worries and concerns of not just parents or some parents in Kilcullen or yourself in Kilcullen, but indeed of parents in every town and village in this county and country. Mm-hmm. It's to do with the lack of financial resources available to schools. They have to come up with the funding all the way. But, of course, it means it should be according to the guidelines laid down by the department. Elaine, we'll see what happens out of this. And as I say, open invitation to the school or any school to reply on the basis of the difficulties with funding and resources that they're encountering and how they're approaching these. Meanwhile, Elaine, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken.
Not at all, and good morning to you. We're well over time for news. Take a quick break and then we're going to Kira. Okay, welcome back then, and in a moment we're going to be talking Jack and Jill, but catching up on some of your messages. Clem, I thought there was no cutting down or removing of any hedgerow at this time of year. How is it that trees and hedgerows are being removed from a site on the way into Kildare Town? Well, I presume it might be some development work that's going on there, and that might be the exception. I don't know. Maybe if you find out a bit more information and let us know. Morning, Clem. I grew up in a Bordenamona village, Kyle Dove, 72 houses, and everyone knew each other. Great days, says Anna. Indeed, Anna. I have marvellous, marvellous memories of, indeed, growing up in a council housing estate where there was Nennis and later in Clare Castle. And the All-Ireland finals that used to be played out in the road. How we didn't get run down with the guards chasing us and everything else, I'll never know. Tommy Corrie over there in Newbridge, maybe he had influence with the local Garda station, or his beloved Trish might have had influence with the Gardaí up around the Taj area as well. Clem, there's no free education in this country. I believe fees are necessary, but my pet peeve is what's called the voluntary contributions the school asks for. You decide not to pay, the school actually harasses you with texts and emails from the country if the contribution isn't paid, says Rob Dunn. Thanks, Rob. Won't say where you are because I don't want to be pointing the finger at anyone. But no, there is no free education in this country. I mean, students are paying what? In third level, they pay registration fees, fancy name, of 3,000 a year, and then we're told there are no fees. Anybody who's going to a secondary school now, I imagine the cost per pupil is at least 1,000 a year when you throw everything into the mix of books, uniform. If listeners out there can put specific figures on that, text or WhatsApp me 0833 97 97 97. And even in primary schools now, little kiddies, between costs of uniforms, books, activities, voluntary fees and everything else, it must cost at least €500 per child in a primary school. Imagine if you have three or four then. Somebody's just sent me a picture of what they say is a Clem lookalike. And it is Sir Michael Kine. My name is Michael Kine. Do I not do that properly? Oh, and saying that I sound like I'm in Sydney or Australia or whatever else. Isn't that the way the actor famously said it? Anyway, we'll see later on when, with a bit of luck and time permitting, we'll have him reciting a poem for us. Okay, keep the messages coming and I'll get to some of the text messages in a couple of minutes' time. But now, Jack and Jill Charity has just launched its fundraising, Kildare fundraising drive, asking people to support local, donate local, to raise funds to support the specialist home nursing care hours for 20 local families here in County Kildare, supported by Jack and Jill. The charity is asking people to continue to support and to donate local with these, with their many of their traditional fundraisers having been postponed due to the pandemic, including the Jack and Jill charity shops in Newbridge and Crookstown, which have only recently been given the green light to reopen on May 17th, having been closed since January. The Jack and Jill Children's Foundation is based here in County Kildare, up the road from us in Nace, in Johnstown, above the Centra shop. Set up by parents at the time in 1997 living here in the county, the famous Mary Ann O'Brien, founder of Lily O'Brien's Chocolates, and Jonathan Irwin, who were supported to care for their son Jack at home by local nurses and friends until their son Jack passed away at home at the age of 22 months on December 13, 1997. Jack's home nursing care plan then became the blueprint for over 2,500 children who've been supported by Jack and Jill since then, as Mary Ann and Jonathan vowed that no parents should have to walk this difficult care journey alone. A very important part of Jack and Jill's service is end-of-life support at home, and the nurses empower parents to bring their child home even for just one night or one week. It means everything to their parents and extended family. They say community is at the heart of everything they do, as Jack and Jill nurses become a key part of the ongoing care regime for a family in their child's early years from birth to 6 years of age. So that is a snapshot of what many of us know or maybe don't know about Jack and Jill. But did you know that in this case of fundraising, Jack and Jill funds up to 80 hours per month for families, and every €18 funds 1 hour of home nursing care, because it costs €1,440 to fund a family for a month, or €17,000 for a year. No waiting lists or means tests with Jack and Jill, and the service operates 7 days a week across the country. Quite miraculous. And that they've provided, despite the pandemic, 94,000 hours in 2020. Shortly, we'll speak to Mary Jo Guilfoyle. She is a Jack and Jill nurse. But first, let's speak to a parent, Maria O'Brien. Good morning, Maria. And thank you for joining us. Indeed, we've been listening to your voice on the fundraising ad that's going out here on KFM during the week. You might have a career in radio, Maria O'Brien.
Oh, you never know. It's good for the CV.
Right. If you drop into us at some stage, we'll discuss terms and conditions about that.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your son, Harry.
Yeah, so Harry is 5. He turned 5 there on the 15th of April. He was born with a rare syndrome called genitopatellar syndrome, which is also known as GPS. He's one of 100 cases worldwide that we know of. What that means for Harry is he was born with absent corpus callosum, which is the middle part of your brain. It connects the left and right side of your brain. He was born without that. He also has optic nerve hypoplasia, which means he's visually impaired. He has an unsafe swallow, so he's 100% tube-fed. He has osteoporosis, so he's prone to fractures. He also has kidney reflux, so he's prone to urinary tract infections, which happens a lot. He's non-verbal, non-mobile, he depends on me and my husband for everything, from sitting up to lying down and changing his positions. But despite all that, he's a very, very happy, cheerful boy and a beautiful, beautiful smile.
And you have indeed a beautiful smile yourself. I'm just looking at a photograph of you.
Thanks very much.
And your husband, I won't leave him out of it. We're not gender biased here. Your husband has a beautiful smile too, by the way.
He sure does. He sure does.
Dennis, so regards to Dennis. And little Ben, he has a brother, Ben, age 2 as well. And he's looking wonderful. And it's a lovely family photograph, I have to say.
He's a great boy. Which
is in the Leader last week. How do you cope with the challenges that Harry has, Maria?
Yeah, well, I suppose Harry was our firstborn. And when he was born, he was only 2 hours old. He was transferred by ambulance from the Coombe to Crumlin. where he spent the first 8 weeks, where, you know, every time a consultant came in, it was always bad news. We were kind of in denial at the time, to be honest, which all we wanted to do was bring home our baby and mind him, you know, like all first-time parents want to do. I suppose we didn't realise all the work that would have to be done on a day-to-day basis with Harry. As I said, Harry depends on us for everything, be it if he needs to be changed positions, he can't move himself really. And also from feed, he's on a blended diet, which means I make all his feed, and it's very specialised. There's a lot of his food he can't tolerate, and I have to count calories. And he's fed through a syringe, through his tube, which takes up to 45 minutes to an hour, and that's five times a day. He's on a lot of medication as well, and we have to do physio with him every day. So, you know, our work during the day in the house is very like a military operation, really. certain times, certain things have to be done. We can't just get up and walk away spontaneously to go to the shops. Everything has to be planned. When you're a mother or a parent to a complex child, you're constantly on high alert, and that can be physically and mentally challenging and exhausting. And that's why we're so lucky to have Jack and Jill in our life. They come in, they take Harry, they know exactly how to look after Harry, and we can leave knowing that he's well looked after, and we can take a breather and take a break.
How long would that little breather or break? God, I'm exhausted already listening to you. And I'm in awe of parents like yourself, Aisling McNiff, whom we've had on the programme previously, and other parents who so incredibly advocate and supportive of their children. And I don't have children, so I can't even begin to imagine that bond that they're... Every one of you that I talk to seems to just sort of put these demands in you to the side, and your child is your universe, and such love is quite incredible.
Absolutely. Like, first things first, Harry is a child, and he's our child, you know, and we love him so, so much. Like, the things we do for him is to keep him comfortable and keep him alive, and I do it all day, every day, as long as if it makes him happy and it keeps him well. We have no problem doing it. And Ben has such a great bond with Harry as well. Harry, as I said, he's non-verbal, and also he doesn't really play with toys unless we play it with him. But as soon as we go up to him with a toy, or Ben comes up to him and talks to him, Harry has a big laugh, a big smile. He's very sociable and very bubbly in his own way, you know. But with Jack and Jill, like, as you asked there, like, how long would that break be? That's the beauty about Jack and Jill. It's not they're ringing me saying we're free these hours. It's all depends on us and our circumstances. If there's a week I need to go away for 4 or 5 hours with my husband or with Ben to do maybe, I don't know, go for dinner or go to the cinema or go for a walk, they're there. If I need them for an hour while my husband's at work to give me a hand with Harry while I make up Harry's feed or just do normal chores like the shopping or cleaning the house, they're there. So every family's different of when you need the hours, and that's the beauty about Jack and Jill. They understand that every family is different, you know?
It is indeed. And, you know, when we see at the weekend, the Late Date Show, which has done huge fundraising, let's acknowledge that, at the weekend raising over 6 million for Jack and for Darkness Into Light Pieta House, I saw one person make a point, and it struck a note with me, that a pity that instead of allocating that millions and millions that are raised to a single and very, very deserving organisation, maybe there might be a case for spreading that money among various organisations. We've decided to partner Jack and Jill this week here on KFM and give our support to their Kildare fundraising drive in the knowledge that any money spent or any money raised, and you can donate at jackandjill.ie, will be spent here in Kildare on providing nursing support to families like Marie O'Brien, by the way, who's from Salins, and her husband Dennis and Harry, and not forgetting Ben. And I talked about lovely smiles. Mary Jo Guilfoyle is smiling out at me here from my screen. She's a Jack and Jill nurse. Let's hear from Mary Jo now. Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. One of the heroes of Jack and Jill. And indeed, the job that you undertake, I know how demanding it is, but obviously so rewarding as well.
hugely rewarding, Clem. I mean, like, I'm here this morning with Maria, and it's a privilege to be here, and it's a privilege to be part of these families' lives, you know, and to help them in any way we can through their journey. And, you know, it's just the little things, but they do make a difference. The families allowing them to get a break so that they can recharge their own batteries. It's really vital. And as we say, every 18 euros is an hour of nursing care that we can give to a family. And every hour matters to those families, you know, big or small. But it's a huge privilege for me personally and for us as a team of liaison nurses to be able to help these families on their journey with these absolutely incredible children. I mean, listening there to Maria and Harry's infectious smile, these kids capture a piece of your heart that you have no control over. You know, they really draw you in, and you want to do anything you can to make life comfortable for them and as easy as possible for the parents as well. Like, I've been with Jack and Jill since the beginning in 1997, and we've seen massive changes in the children and the care that they require and the responsibility that brings to their families as well. But I suppose the one thing that hasn't changed since the very beginning of time is our dedication and commitment to keeping the child and the family at the centre of everything we do. You know, it's that practical help and support, but it's every family is individual, and what they need, the rhythm of their house, when they need to take a break, how often they need to take a break, that's different and unique in every family. So we have no real blueprint. We go in and we sit down as liaison nurses with the families, and then from there we work a little package to see what suits each family best, and we do our utmost to try and get the help in when it's needed, Clem.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for nothing, Mary Jo Guilfoyle. You and Marie O'Brien and the likes of you are heroes of mine, I have to say. When one considers that it takes 4 million euro, I'll repeat that, 4 million euro every year to run Jack and Jill. The HSC gives 20%. That's 800,000, okay? So that means that every single year, Jack and Jill has to raise 3.2 million to fund nurses like Mary Jo Guilfoyle, to give respite to parents like Maria and Dennis O'Brien for their little boy Harry and so many children right around the country. 94,000 hours delivered last year. They have lost all their fundraising for the year. So we're asking you, the people of Kildare and beyond, the many counties listen to us beyond the borders of Kildare and indeed around the world. You can listen to us on our new website and our brand new app. To do what you can do, you can donate at jackandjill.ie in the knowledge that the money donated here in County Kildare will be spent here in County Kildare supporting not just one family, but the 20 families that Jack and Jill is supporting. That's, by the way, 134 children here in the county. Okay. Maria, it's great talking to you. If you just hand me back and keep up your marvellous work. God, they talk about people who are angels, you know, in regards to that. But I don't have, I'm not overstating it, am I, in terms of, Maria, people like Mary Jo are scarce on this planet.
Oh, absolutely. We're so thankful that Mary Jo came into our lives. That day she came into Crumlin when we were falling to pieces, she was just like an angel walking through the door of St. Peter's to save us. And we're so grateful for her. And even when I feel down, like, as I said, sometimes it can be a bit isolated, and they feel a bit isolated being a mother to a complex needs child, but I just pick up the phone to them and they totally understand everything that I have to say to them, really.
Well, listen, it's great talking to you this morning, and people will hear the fundraising ad going out. Jack and Jill just launched a fundraising drive here in Kildare for the next couple of weeks. We're proud indeed to support that. And later in the week, Kildare Focus on Wednesday, we'll hear more about the people who work with Jack and Jill and who work for Jack and Jill. And then on Friday, I'll be joined by CEO Carmel Doyle from Jack and Jill. Meanwhile, we're asking you to support local, donate local to raise those very, very badly needed funds. You can donate at jackandjill.ie. Nurse Mary Jo Guilfoyle, thank you. And especially thank you, Maria O'Brien. And indeed, we won't forget himself, the husband Dennis, little Ben, but particularly Harry as well. It's been my pleasure to talk to you this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thanks, not at all. And take care of you all and yourselves. Heroes all, aren't they?
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, an email to us here on the programme said, I've attached two pictures, which is the latest in a long line of damage done to my house, caused by a battery or ball bearing thrown from a slingshot. I've been listening to your accounts of residents in Kilmead who are suffering antisocial behaviour. Well, we are too. I moved into my house 12 years ago. Love my home, take pride in it. But where I live, it's ruined regularly. As one of my neighbours says, it's a fresh hell every week. Lockdown has been worse because of it. I'm not going to give the names of the people I'm talking about. I know the names of the people I'm talking about. We're referring, by the way, to the Ardrew housing estate on the Fort Barrington Road, out of a tie if you were going out towards Barrow House in regards to that. And we're joined by one resident now who wrote that email to us, and I have met residents over the weekend. Indeed, let's hear from some of those first, because I visited the estate on Saturday to get the views of a number of different residents. I spoke to about five in total out there, and indeed another resident just yesterday as well. Let's hear what some of them had to say.
I've plant pots outside the door, and I had to tie them together with twine to stop them from robbing them. My neighbour next door had been very ill. They were knocking at his door demanding money. When he didn't give it to them, they came back with fistfuls of stones and nails and threw them at his door. And my neighbour down there, he got a dead dog thrown over his wall. Now he is right on the back. There's no other way a dog could end up in his backyard because the walls are high. It had to come over the wall from the halting site.
Can you say with certainty that the issues that are affecting you is coming as a result of the halting site?
Absolutely. And we were down with the guards every other day.
And what has been the response of the guards?
They're tired coming up here. They're just tired coming up here, and they say they'll pull the racist issue. They can pull the racist issue if they want. It's nothing to do with racism.
Is your house part of the Respond Housing Association? Have you been in touch with the Respond Association?
I haven't personally. Some of my neighbours have.
Okay, have you been in touch with Kildare County Council at any stage?
Yeah, my neighbours have already.
Okay, let's speak to another one of the residents here. Your house is actually backing directly onto the halting site.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And just what kind of problems have you been getting?
We have dirty things coming over to the wall, dirty nappies and sanitary products and parts of caravans and car batteries. And that started from day one when we moved up here. It's after getting worse.
How worse?
But the dogs are at it all the time. It could be 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning when this is all going on. Only recently there was a car horn being beeped at 10 past 2 in the morning.
Have you made complaints to the authorities?
I've emailed Kildare County Council. I've emailed the liaison that they give you. And all I got back was the same email everybody gets. I got no actual email addressed to me. It's just the one they send out to everybody.
Which is, says what?
Just says it's going to be dealt with. It's going to be passed on to the proper authorities and they'll be in contact, which they weren't.
How long have you been lived here?
Since the houses were built. So October 2012. I used to go into the site and get onto them, but you get no good out of it.
What kind of other things have happened here?
And the stuff out of the garden. And
Kildare County Council at any stage, the Gardaí, have the Gardaí visited the place?
Up and down, not every time they rang.
Yeah.
Now my sister, she lives over there in that, see that corner house?
Yeah.
She lives there, but she got an email off them yesterday. The old first one she got back, she'd been emailing them since 2018.
Emailing the Gardaí?
The County Council. Oh, and she finally once got an email back yesterday, and it basically said in it that they're closing the case. But the case was never open because nobody came up or nobody dealt with it.
And what did they mean by closing the case, do you know?
They just said in the email to her, it was just write down dates and times and all of this, like, you know what I mean? But you couldn't be sitting out your windowsill with a pen and a pad all the time waiting for things to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's somebody in there during the day, every day, from Kildare County Council. There's an office to sit in. So during the day, it's like that. It's like lambs in there. As soon as they're gone, then it's hell.
So there's no trouble from the caretaker is on the site?
Not at all.
You're saying that the incidents happen sometimes
during
into the early hours of the morning?
Nearly every morning.
Right, some of the residents I met there on Saturday whose houses back on, or rather there are some of those residents whose houses back straight onto the halting site. The boundary between the halting site and the back wall of the houses, the gardens would only be about 20 metres. So, and the wall is maybe about 5 feet high or thereabouts, at the most, maybe 6 feet or whatever. And I was in one of the residents' back gardens, and indeed, the holding site has been there, I think, for decades at this stage, even before the housing. Now, it's a lovely estate. Lovely, lovely estate, I have to say, built apparently by the Respond Building Association, and kept very, very well. And indeed, I spoke to a person yesterday whom I understand is a member of the Residents Association, who confirmed that there are incidents going on regularly in the estate, and saying that the Residents Association hasn't taken an active role in trying to solve them. But yes, confirmed to me off the record that the incidents that those residents have been talking about, that there have been similar incidents going on. And indeed, another resident joins me now. I'm just going to call her Mary. That is not her name, because I'm not going to use any of the names here for obvious reasons in regards to that. You had two windows, your house backs onto the site as well. You had two windows broken recently, is that right?
Well, I had the same window broken twice.
Right. And are you absolutely certain that the only way your back windows could have been broken is from the direction of the halting site?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Oh, I know it was from the halting site anyway. Most of the residents up here have had a window broken. One gentleman just gave up altogether, putting glass into his window, and just has plexiglass in his now. So we've all had windows broken. A neighbour a few doors down had to pay to get hers fixed. Last year, I think it was, €260 she paid to have her window fixed. So we've all had, another gentleman had his windscreen of his car broken with a marble in a slingshot.
Right, we heard this, the slingshot seems to become a prevalent thing, because we've heard issues like that going on out in Kilmeade as well. We asked Kildare County Council for a statement in regards to this. And I wrote to them, I would appreciate if you would provide a statement or a spokesperson regarding complaints by members of the settled community regarding harassment, damage, etc. They're alleging is coming from the direction of a halting site which backs onto their gardens. And we've been contacted by residents in relation to that. The council responded fairly quickly, I have to say, this morning. They said, "Good morning, Clem. Please see statement in response to your query. Kildare County Council cannot comment on individual complaints. If a person wishes to make a complaint to Kildare County Council, they can do so via telephone to customer services or by email, customerservices@kildareco.ie, and matters will subsequently be investigated. To report antisocial behaviour, an online form is available on the Kildare County Council website. Additionally, any issues arising in relation to harassment, damage to property and public disorder should be made to An Garda Síochána for investigation." I understand, have you complained to Kildare County Council?
Yes, I have. Yes.
And what response did you get?
Well, I have to have dates and times. That's not a big problem. I have to have bay numbers and individuals' names. If you have somebody throwing something from a hot inside, what are you going to do? Go in and ask them for their bay number? If you have travellers in the middle of the site fighting, shouting, children running around,
all right,
how do you have a bay number?
That would be allegedly in terms of that. But you're adamant that the stuff coming over walls can come from nowhere else except the halting site?
No, it comes from the halting site.
I actually was at your house, and there isn't access to your back gardens other than over the wall, and I presume the neighbours are not doing it. Your neighbours on your left are not doing it. In regards to the, I believe that the council did issue an email response at the weekend to the effect, to residents, to the effect that the case is closed. Can you comment on that?
They just said that we have to, like I said to you, we have to have individual bay numbers, names, dates and times. The dates and times are fine, but this issue is now closed. Like, when was the issue opened? Nobody came out to speak to us. When I spoke, emailed them about the damage done to my window, they categorically stated, that's not a council problem. That's a Respond problem. Well, nobody in Respond broke the window. The council tenants broke the window.
All right. Now, Patricia Ryan joins us, Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South. And good morning, Patricia. I believe you've been intervening or taking up the case of the residents.
Morning, Clem. How are you? Your listener came to me. She approached me for assistance, and I contacted the tenant liaison officer for Respond. He was very helpful. The listener was very concerned that she would have to pay for the damage of the window, and the tenant liaison officer explained that Respond would fix the window. And I also understood that the TLO would discuss the antisocial behaviour. But I presume that didn't happen now, as the listener's here.
Well, no, I spoke, as I say, I spoke to four or five residents on Saturday. I spoke to another resident yesterday who confirmed that, and by the way, let's be clear about this. There is this resident I spoke to yesterday confirmed to me that there's an excellent manager on the site in the daylight hours and doing a great job and everything is in order. But as one of the people on our Vox recording piece there said, no problems during the day, everything is perfect. Problems happen after the manager might leave or at night time or whatever else. Patricia, what, if any, is the responsibility of Kildare County Council here?
Well, I will be going back to them. I mean, we have issues, and there seem to be a man sitting there from the Halton site, and I have made representation to the council. And at the next meeting of the working group on Dunbrain, I will be proposing that Ardrú be included in the discussion, which are trying to solve...
Ardrú.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Ardrú is actually a different part of the town,
yes.
Just in case there's any confusion. Ardrú, yes.
Ardrú, yes. But they will be included in the discussion, because we're trying to solve similar problems there, and I again will be raising this at the Joint Policing Committee next month.
Right.
So I have been participating in a cross-party group Zoom meeting with the looking to resolve this as well, and Dunbrin had similar issues, which is in the same area, and the group includes the council, the Gardaí, the ISPCA, local politicians, and we have discussed issues like wandering horses and dogs, antisocial behaviour and dumping. And it's clear that there are issues in the area, Clem, and they need to be addressed. So we have to continue to liaise to get that to be sorted. It can't continue.
Okay, I can certainly, as I say, I went out there to specifically meet the residents so that I could ascertain the situation. Of course, it can beg the question, why houses were ever built where the wall in the back garden is the boundary line, the actual boundary line of the halting site? And it's been there for years. And to put it in perspective, as I saw it, there are a number of mobile homes placed at the back wall of these gardens on the halting site. And the actual windows from these mobile homes are higher than the back wall, etc., etc. Now, I'm not saying anybody's out there looking in or whatever else, but it just struck me at the time that it mightn't have been the wisest thing to do to build houses along this row. But let's be clear about one thing, listener here, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say in response to people who might say you're just anti-traveller?
I'm in no way anti-traveller, in no way. There's traveller families living in this estate, around the front part of the estate. They are perfectly fine and there's no problems with them. I lived beside a traveller before in a previous estate. I couldn't have had a nicer neighbour. I'm in no way anti-traveller, but I do believe that everybody should be allowed to live in peace and quiet and not have freezers and all sorts of things thrown over the wall, or dead dogs, or car tyres, or batteries. Response answer to this is, oh, just throw it back. Just throw it back. I threw back a shampoo bottle that came over the wall one day while I was hanging my clothes out. And it came back at me with such force that I just put it into my own bin. Own bin that I pay for.
All right, okay. It would seem from the description, certainly it's not acceptable. As I say, I spoke, there are other traveller families who are living independently in houses on Ardrú, and all the residents I spoke to said, not a bother.
No,
they're
no
grand. You'd be proud to have them as neighbours. And this issue is concerning this boundary wall with a number of houses and allegations of the kind of behaviour that has been articulated by the listeners going on here. Patricia, you're going to take up the case, are you?
I am, of course, yeah.
All right.
The next Joint Policing Meeting, and I'm going back to Kildare County Council. Absolutely, I am. I don't think anybody should have to live in this situation. I don't think that we should be having windows broken and replaced every time either, at the cost that it's going to cost. But, I mean, if you have sanitary products and dirty nappies and everything else coming over your wall, how could anybody be expected to live like that?
Right.
I don't believe it's necessarily a traveller problem. It's an antisocial behaviour problem, and it needs to be addressed.
It is, and we'd like to couch it in those terms, by the way,
yes,
and be very, very careful. And well said there, Patricia. This is not about members of a particular community or anything else or ethnic grouping. This is about there's antisocial behaviour going on, and wherever it's coming from. But given that the boundary wall is with the halting site, if you find a dead dog in your back garden in the morning, and that dog did not have access to come in the side of your house, and I've looked at these, well, therefore, the dog's body can only have come over the wall or whatever else, and we don't know who did it or whatever did it, but the issues are the problem, the issues, and that's what we need to focus on. So, Patricia, you take it up, and we'll see what listeners do again.
Absolutely, and I believe we need to be collectively involved with all the different people, like the Gardaí, the ISPCA, and all local politicians, and we will need to get together and get this problem sorted, because it cannot continue.
Indeed, and according to some residents yesterday, they've engaged with all these organisations, and it just seems to be that it's an ongoing issue, and the big question that's asked is, why is it never ending? As listeners would say, it's going on for years. Okay, Mary, thank you for your time this morning. Thank to the other residents that I spoke to at the weekend when I visited, just to get an idea of what was going on. And indeed, thanks also to Patricia Ryan for their time this morning. We'll keep a watching brief on that. Thanks to Kildare County Council for their reply. I've asked them, by the way, for another reply in regards to the message that I sent in this morning, because I asked them, I said, the residents say they have made complaints on many occasions. They say they've received an email in the last couple of days saying the case is closed. Can you comment on this, please? Why the case is closed when the residents are of the view? Sure, it was never opened in the first place. We're not getting a response. Let's see what happens to that anyway. Okay, welcome back then. Before we move on, Sinn Féin TD for Kildare North, Raida Cronin, has just been in touch saying she's urgently engaging with Irish Water as to why people who have bought houses in Mullen Park, Maynooth, cannot move in as they have no Irish Water connection. She said constituents in North Kildare are paying rents, mortgages and storage simultaneously while waiting to move into the houses they have bought. We might hear more about that, certainly I think on our news bulletins and maybe on Kildare Focus this afternoon as well. But meanwhile, as you know, the country is opening up considerably today, and among the services opening up are the Kildare County Council Library Services, whose County Librarian is Marion Higgins and indeed joins us right now. Good morning, Marion.
Morning, Clem. Good to be on.
Ah, sure. You look grand on Twitter making your speeches, Marion.
Oh, thank you, Clem.
your radio killed the video killed the radio star, they say.
Sure. I have another career, haven't I?
Ah, you did great on it. So, Marion, all the libraries open from this morning?
Absolutely. So, our staff are chomping at the bit to welcome their members back. I suppose it's been a long time since we've been physically open, so we're so chomping at the bit to welcome people. So, at the moment, I suppose we were conscious that virtual queues are better than a physical queue, especially today it's raining. So you can actually book an appointment, a 30-minute appointment, and if you go to our website kildare.ie/library, you'll be able to make a 30-minute appointment there. So at the moment it's a lending service, so you can browse the shelves and return your books as well at the moment, and then we're hoping we'll be able to expand our service soon enough as well.
How many people will you allow in at a time? I know it'll depend probably on the size of different libraries. I'm familiar with the beautiful library in Athy, but in terms of numbers making an appointment, how many at a time do you think you'd have in?
Yeah, well, the maximum we would have at any time, let's say in our big branches, would be around 15. So that's pretty much the maximum. And then some of our very small branches, like let's say Ballytor, because it's particularly small and it's, the space. So we'd be saying around 3 to 4 in the smaller branches.
I don't have to tell you, Marion Higgins, that given the demand for your library services, I wish you well in terms of organising those queues. So say Clem makes an appointment for 10 o'clock in the morning and 14 others are in there as well. At 10:29 then, are we told to skedaddle out of the library?
Well, it's very much, it will be, though, because I suppose we have to be conscious of other people.
You have 15 outside the door who want to get in.
So it will be the case. But look, people are very good and they know what they want, So they're in and out. I might add, if our books could show an emotion, they'd be jumping off the shelves saying, pick me at the moment, you know. So, so look, I think people know what they're looking for, and we have fabulous new books, I might add, on our shelves as well. And I suppose our library staff have been putting collections together, so you could even go in and just pick up, say you like thrillers, there will be bags there pre-packed, so you know, if you like thrillers you can pick up thrillers, or if you have, let's say, children 8 to 10, we'll have packs ready, so you know, you can actually pick, you know, a pack up straight away, so you don't have to, you can actually make your visit as quick as you want, you know. So but further to that, actually we have a new service we're actually launching, and it's an online service, it's an e-magazine service, so there will be 3,200 items on that. So, I mean, the collection is huge. You can go from The Economist to Newsweek to BBC, Good Food, Wired, and I suppose for yourself, Clem, Decanter, the wine connoisseur. So, so look, there's a...
I beg your pardon, Marion Higgins.
I'm like a drop of wine.
Owen, will you give me the number of my solicitor there, please? what a scurrilous allegation of defamation by Marion Higgins. Jot that down. I'll be my people will be talking to your people later, Marion Higgins.
Right, OK. Well, would you be more interested in home and garden than in country living?
No, you can go back to the former.
So look, there's a great selection there as well, you know. So, the important thing is, if you want to physically come into our library, just make that appointment, kildare.ie/library.
Great.
And I suppose if you don't, some people have form anxiety at the moment. I think I do. So you can also phone up and make an appointment. So, and if you don't know the number of your local library, our library headquarters is
046-106-102 is the number that you can ring up, or kildare.ie to make your appointment at one of the wonderful Kildare libraries. What an amazing and fantastic service. Marion, that registered letter will be with you within half an hour.
Go on. Give me a break now, Clem.
All right, okay, I will so. Well done, Marion Higgins, County Librarian. Lovely talking to you, and what a great, great service the libraries are. Right, kildare.ie. And you heard the phone number again in regards to that. Right, some of the messages with regards to you doing the Michael Caine accent. You sound like you're more in pain, says Bill, rather than in Australia or a Londoner. But keep practicing. Thanks, Bill. And another, Samantha Neva Kenny, good to hear from you again. It's great to hear you've got Jack and Jill on this week fundraising. If it wasn't for their support with Ava, we would have been totally lost for the last 5 years. Our nurse is like a member of our family and plays such a vital role in helping to support Ava's care needs. As a family, we will never be able to show how grateful we are to have that charity there for us. Samantha is the mum, Ava the child, who requires 24 hours a day direct care. And another great story by Jack and Jill. More of your messages in a moment, but first of all, I want to do a little bit of reflection, because we've been talking about it all morning.
KFM's Reflection Timeout.
Okay, so here goes Michael Caine and the story of If.
The Kipling poem, it's one of my favourites since I was a boy at school. My father read it to me once. And I think it, to me as a little boy, it summed up what a man should be. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor look too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life for broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at the beginning, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are done, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 40 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
You'll be a man, my son, Michael Caine. Somebody's after sending me a photograph of myself now, comparing me and Michael Caine. I'm way better looking, actually, just looking at those two photographs. Now, that's a completely objective view, totally unbiased and everything else. We'll take a break, I think. I still think I say Michael Caine, but they're still laughing at me in here and whatever else. But anyway, good morning, Clem. Some of the texts that have been coming in. Is council housing not a complete estate of houses where social housing is a percentage? No, I still understand it if it's built by the council. Anthony was in touch to say he had the jab at Punchestown on Saturday. It was his first one, and he wants to praise the very efficient way it operated. No delays whatsoever, in and out in 35 minutes. Clem, I've had to pay rent as D for 28 years and now pay more in rent than many families do in mortgage payments. I'm fodder for someone else's pensions, but despite my best efforts, I've never qualified for a mortgage. I'm in my 50s. Clem, how come it takes the government weeks to bring in a change to the housing, but if it's something that suits them, it can be brought in practically overnight? Another KFM, there are parents on all schools and managements. Why aren't they speaking up about the expenses? Clem, this thing about schools, says a listener, and uniforms and books, it's been going on since my kids were in school over 30 years ago, says Joe. I am from the very first council estate in Selbridge, says Mick, Bally Ulster, and I'm proud of it. Clem, Kildare County Council does not record the calls in their customer service centre, says Joe. I don't know about that, Joe. Can't comment on the accuracy of that. And Mary says, as regards to uniforms from the shop in Baltinglass and the quality, my daughter is in sixth year now, and she's had her jacket and top since first year, and her jumper for 4 years. Expensive to start with, but the quality works itself out over the years. And a couple of quick WhatsApp messages before I leave. No name, happy 16th birthday to Thomas Dunn in Nurney Road, Monastrevin. Have a great day. Lots of love for Mary in Rathangan and all the Kennedy Mull, Peter, Perry, Dillons and Nanny Mull in Rathangan. Another listener says, no name, please. The council will not investigate these issues. I leave that message for the moment for obvious reasons. And Clem, okay, there's other messages coming in regards to the situation we discussed about the halting site in Athy. I need to look over those messages in case I just rush them and say the wrong thing. And then we got that earlier, that message about costing to do housing inspections as Social Justice Ireland is recommending. Listen, that's all we've time for. Thanks for a very packed Monday morning and your company, Owen Beattie and Kieran Noble, the team. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 9. Take care of each other, keep your social distance and don't go wild out there. John Dunn is up next with 11 to 2. But first, Ciara Plunkett's in the KFM newsroom.